among the deities very successfully, I speculated that the person who would be doing the puja required the Gayatri Mantra. So I very audaciously gave this person the Gayatri Mantra on behalf of Prabhupada. Then the rest of the tour was done very nicely. We went to different cities, and everywhere we went, people were very enthusiastic about chanting Hare Krishna. I remember in one place, I forget the city it was in, it was a very big auditorium with about 2,000 teenagers had attended, and they were all chanting very nicely. We showed them how to do the dance step back and forth, and they all danced back and forth in unison. And after about an hour of chanting, we were exhausted. So, but they wanted more. I forget what the words in German are, but they encore. Yeah, that's right. So they were saying that again and again. So we went for another hour. And by that time, our hands were bleeding. Mukunda Maharaj and myself were playing the drum. But they kept going. They were dancing around in circles. And every time we'd finish the Jai Om prayers, we would bow down. They'd all bow down. About 2,000 boys and girls. So finally, when they were all bowing down, we ran off the stage, and we put on the recording. And as soon as the recording began, they started to dance again. And then at the end of that recording, there's a gong. And when the gong sounded, they all bowed down again. So we got a very good impression of how the German people were actually very receptive to Krishna consciousness, and that they were also, you know, they could be trained very nicely. They learned how to dance, chant, offer obeisances all in one evening. As an anecdote, of course, when I came back to London, I told Prabhupada about the success of our visit, and I also mentioned about the Gayatri Mantra initiation. And Prabhupada said, you have not given Gayatri Mantra to anybody. So I said, no, Prabhupada, I really did. He said, you cannot give it. So I said, but I repeated all the mantras. He said, you have no power to give the Gayatri Mantra. And sure enough, within 1 week, the person that I gave the Gayatri Mantra blooped. So that was the end of my Gayatri Mantra initiating for at least another many, many years. So after that, I visited a second time, and I stayed for some months in Hamburg, and it was the winter time. I somehow endured for the winter in Hamburg. It was very difficult circumstances. We were living in this warehouse in Bartholdstrasse. There was really no bath there. I remember having to walk to the bathhouse two or three times a week to take a normal bath. And I remember going out during the winter time. Every day we would go out very religiously to distribute back to Godhead magazine. But even when it was snowing, we would go out without fail for 7-8 hours and chant and distribute the magazine. So that's my remembrance. That's why I said this is much nicer, to come and see such a nice expansion of the Krishna consciousness movement. And of course, this is only one place in Germany. You've expanded Krishna consciousness in so many places. So purity is the force. If one continues to remain very strict and adhering to all of the principles exactly as Prabhupada established them, then success is sure. Whatever failure is there in our movement is simply due to deviations. As long as there is purity and rigidity in terms of following the orders of the previous acharya, there's no way that this movement can ever be checked. As was evidenced by my visit to Germany, whatever I did according to Prabhupada's instructions was successful, and as soon as I deviated and did concocted something of my own, immediately it was unsuccessful. So we should learn by then. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Purport and translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thus being fixed, one must render service unto the Supersoul situated in one's own heart by His omnipotency. Because He is the Almighty Personality of Godhead, eternal and unlimited, He is the ultimate goal of life, and by worshipping Him, one can end the cause of the conditioned state of existence. Purport. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 18:61, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the all-pervading, omnipresent Supersoul. Therefore, one who is a yogi can worship only Him, because He is the substance and not illusion. Every living creature is engaging in the service of something else. A living being's constitutional position is to render service, but in the atmosphere of Maya, or illusion, or the conditioned state of existence, the conditioned soul seeks the service of illusion. A conditioned soul works in the service of his temporary body. Bodily relatives, like the wife and children, and the necessary paraphernalia for maintaining the body and bodily relations, such as the house, land, wealth, society, and country. But he does not know that all such renderings of service are totally illusory. As we have discussed many times before, this material world is itself an illusion, like a mirage in the desert. In the desert, there is an illusion of water, and the foolish animals become entrapped by such an illusion and run after water in the desert, although there is no water at all. But because there is no water in the desert, one does not conclude that there is no water at all. The intelligent person knows well that there is certainly water, water in the seas and oceans. But such vast reservoirs of water are far, far away from the desert. One should therefore search for water in the vicinity of seas and oceans, not in the desert. Every one of us is searching after real happiness in life, namely, eternal life, eternal or unlimited knowledge, and unending blissful life. But foolish people who have no knowledge of the substance search after the reality of life in the illusion. This material body does not endure eternally, and everything in relation with this temporary body, such as the wife, children, society, and country, also changes along with the change of body. This is called samsara, or repetition of birth, death, old age, and disease. We would like to find a solution for all these problems of life, but we do not know the way. Herein, it is suggested that anyone who wants to make an end to these miseries of life, namely, repetition of birth, death, disease, and old age, must take to this process of worshipping the Supreme Lord and not others, as it is also ultimately suggested in the Bhagavad Gita 18:65. If we at all want to end the cause of our conditioned life, we must take to the worship of Lord Sri Krishna, who is present in everyone's heart, by his natural affection for all living beings, who are actually the parts and parcels of the Lord. Bhagavad Gita 18:61. The baby in the lap of his mother is naturally attached to the mother, and the mother is attached to the child. But when the child grows up and becomes overwhelmed by circumstances, he gradually becomes detached from the mother, although the mother always expects some sort of service from the grown-up child and is equally affectionate toward her child, even though the child is forgetful. Similarly, because we are all part and parcel of the Lord is always affectionate to us, and he always tries to get us back home, back to Godhead. But we, the conditioned souls, do not care for him and run instead after the illusory bodily connections. We must therefore extricate ourselves from all illusory connections of the world and seek reunion with the Lord, trying to render service unto him, because he is the ultimate truth. Actually, we are hankering after him, as the child seeks the mother. And to search out the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we need not go anywhere else, because the Lord is within our hearts. This does not suggest, however, that we should not go to the places of worship, namely the temples, churches, and mosques. Such holy places of worship are also occupied by the Lord, because the Lord is omnipresent. For the common man, these holy places are centers of learning about the science of God. When the temples are devoid of activities, the people in general become uninterested in such places, and consequently the mass of people gradually become godless, and a godless civilization is the result. Such a hellish civilization artificially increases the conditions of life, and existence becomes intolerable for everyone. The foolish leaders of a godless civilization try to devise various plans to bring about peace and prosperity in the godless world under a patent trademark of materialism. And because such attempts are illusory only, the people elect incompetent, blind leaders one after another, who are incapable of offering solutions. If we want at all to end this anomaly of a godless civilization, we must follow the principles of revealed scriptures like the Srimad Bhagavatam and follow the instructions of a person like Sri Sukadev Goswami, who has no attraction for material gain. Om Abhyanata Marandasya Jananjana Sarakaya Chaksula Milatam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitana Manu Bistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Tsvapandantikam. So Srila Prabhupada's purport and translation illuminate the science of Krishna consciousness. In this verse, Krishna is described as being within the heart of all living entities. So about what is that verse? Krishna is situated within the heart of every living entity, and from him come intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Bhagavad Gita. So the Lord in the heart, Antarjami, is the instructing spiritual master who accompanies us in giving us good direction in the form of our conscience. And the spiritual master who initiates us is the Lord from without, who guides us in all of our activities. So these two spiritual masters, the guru from without and Antaryami, super soul from within, direct the spirit soul on how to resume his normal healthy condition. We have to understand that the present state of existence that we are undergoing is only temporary. We are just like the children who leave their home and forget about their parents, and so fall into so many difficulties. The example here, stated herein, in the purport, is that the mother is always thinking of when the child will return and render some service, and the mother's affection never diminishes for the child. So similarly, Krishna is always remembering us and is waiting for us to turn to him. Srila Sanatana Goswami has written one very nice book, Brihat Bhagavatamrita, in which it is described how the soul returns back to the spiritual world. And when he does so, Krishna embraces him and out of great love and affection holds him in an embrace very tightly. And it is even described where Krishna faints in ecstasy for the return of the individual soul. So we cannot understand the feelings that Krishna has for us. We are so impoverished that the only love that we have is for lust. We feel a very natural inclination, lusty tendencies. No one has to encourage us for a boy to be attracted to a girl, for a girl to be attracted to a boy. Srila Rupa Goswami, taking advantage of this example of material affection between the sexes, he prays that, "I wish that I could be so naturally drawn to Krishna, just as a young boy is drawn to a young girl." And actually, that natural affection for Krishna is the basis of all attraction. Krishna is known as the all-attractive personality of Godhead. The word Krishna means he who is all-attractive. So any kind of attraction which we experience in this world for any type of object is actually a perverted reflection of the attraction which we are meant to feel for Krishna. It is a perversion. And when our perverted consciousness is corrected, then very spontaneously our natural affection for Krishna is awakened. So the process of Krishna consciousness, the process of worshipping Krishna, brings out our natural affection. It is not something external or superficial or artificial. Krishna consciousness is an inherent quality of the soul. We call it Sanatan Dharma. Just like sugar is the inherent quality, sweetness is the inherent quality of sugar. So I was just impressed by the abilities of the Germans. I was thinking that he was keeping up. Just as sweetness is the inherent quality of sugar, so similarly, Krishna consciousness or devotional service is the inherent quality of the soul. Now, that quality is misdirected. We are serving so many unworthy masters, the nation, our parents, so many friends, family members, least or worst of all, our senses. So these are undeserving masters. Why do we say undeserving? Because they lead us to hell. Hell means that place which is devoid of service to Krishna, that place which is temporary, which is full of suffering. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is described that from the topmost planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of birth and death wherein suffering is going on. So whether one rises up to the heavenly planets Svargaloka, or descends down to the lower regions, the Patala Loka planets. In any case, there is the repetition of birth and death. And this is very unnatural for the spirit soul, because the spirit soul is eternal, all-knowing, and full of bliss. So, masters such as the nation, the family, the senses, they are demanding temporary affection, and they return temporary satisfaction. In the Bhagavad Gita, the material masters, the demigods, are described that their rewards are temporary and limited. So, if the material demigods, who are so powerful, can only award temporary, limited satisfaction, then what to speak of such ordinary persons as our family members? To go to your father, to go to your mother, to go to wife or husband, to go to the nation, to go to anyone, thinking that I will draw something from them, I will get some satisfaction from them, is to search after water in the desert. This example is given. The desert is, there is no water available. But sometimes, due to exhaustion, due to starvation or lack of any kind of water, one imagines that there is a lake in the desert. This is called a mirage. And one pursues very energetically that imagination, that illusion, until finally one realizes or one falls down exhausted, because the mirage always appears to be at a distance and one can never attain it. As soon as one seems to go further, it goes further. So one falls down and collapses exhausted. So in the same way, we are trying for material happiness from that place which cannot give us material happiness. We're looking to our senses, we're looking to our mind, and the senses and mind are grasping, holding on to so many different objects, and we are squeezing these objects, trying to find out one drop of water, and there's no happiness there. And eventually, out of sheer exhaustion, we collapse. And in that state of collapse, then Krishna sends a devotee to meet us. Queen Kunti says that Krishna is known as a Kinchana Gochara. He is known to those who are materially exhausted, those who have no longer any hope for high birth in a good family, for wealth, for beauty, or for prestige due to knowledge or learning. To those who no longer believe in such mirages in the desert, Krishna presents himself in the form, first of all, of a devotee. A devotee is the reservoir of mercy. Just like water is stored in a reservoir, and it supplies life for all of those who take water from it. So a devotee is a repository of the water of Krishna's mercy. And because the whole world is now famished, is in a position that they are starving with no water to drink, they require so many reservoirs. So each and every devotee has to be a repository of Krishna's mercy. Every time you chant the Maha Mantra, every time you glance upon the deity, every time you hear the transcendental narrations of Krishna, in each and every activity of Krishna consciousness, the reservoir is becoming more full. And the business of the reservoir is to supply others with that water. So we have to understand that as much water as we give, as much mercy of Krishna as we give, that much becomes refilled or replenished, and even more so. The nature of Krishna consciousness is that the more you give, the more you get. It is not like material life. In material life, everyone is a miser, kripana. Kripana means that one is hoarding whatever one has, because one knows that as something goes in the material world, you become the loser. So people hold on to what they have. But spiritual life works by a different principle, the Mahatma principle. Mahatma principle means the broad-minded soul. The broad-minded soul is like a rain cloud. A rain cloud distributes water everywhere, on the dry land, on the ocean, on the rock, on the water. It doesn't matter. The rain cloud distributes profuse quantities of water. So a merciful devotee distributes Krishna consciousness so broadly that they make no distinction as to who is qualified and who is unqualified. In the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, the Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Prabhu Nityananda and Advaita and Gadadhar and Srivas, and all of their followers, Gaura Bhaktivrinda, they all distributed Krishna consciousness without making any distinction as to who is qualified and who is not qualified. Why? Because they understood that in every living entity there is the pure spirit soul. In every body that they met, there is the pure spirit soul, and Krishna as the Paramatma super soul dwelling besides. So we should not be disturbed, or we should not be distracted by the appearance of the external body. A great preacher is able to penetrate into the consciousness of all living entities. Just like Narad Muni. Narad Muni was able to deliver Nigrari, the hunter, who was an abominable person. Thakur Haridas was able to deliver a prostitute who had specifically come to lure him, and who was the personality of Maya Devi herself. So such empowered preachers never become bewildered by the external form, but always see the internal reality of Krishna and the jiva, and they preach accordingly. So preachers of Krishna consciousness should also never become bewildered by the external reality known as Maya, or this illusory energy. The Maya, or material energy of the Lord, is able to fabricate so many different forms just according to the wildest imagination of our mind. Each person's mind is like a very big manufacturing plant of ideas and desires. When the karmis manufacture, or when the karmis construct a manufacturing plant, they can turn out one item usually, maybe two, three, four, five related items. Maybe they make cars or razor blades or something like this. But Krishna, as the supreme manufacturer, under the jurisdiction of Maya, his plant manager, has created unlimited numbers of manufacturing plants. And each one of them is capable of churning out unlimited numbers of products. of different desires. Maybe they're subtle products, but they are, in a sense, just as real as the gross. Subtle and gross are just different states of material existence. So, Maya presents before us, from this manufacturing plant of the mind, all of the desires manifest before us in such a way as if to think that here is what I have always wanted. So a Krishna conscious preacher has to be able to stand very determinedly and not be lured by the provoking attractive products that Maya presents. A good example is Dhruva Maharaj. When Dhruva Maharaj was doing battle with the Yakshas, by their mystic potencies, created so many illusions. But Dhruva Maharaj was undaunted, and he kept shooting his arrows and annihilating all of the Yaksha illusions. So our arrow is the weapon of knowledge. And with this knowledge, this Brahma-gyan, this knowledge of the spiritual existence, we are meant to cut away all the illusory presentations of Maya when we preach. We do so in such a way as to present these books, Prabhupada's books, as exemplified by this purport, are perfect preaching. Anyone who reads Prabhupada's books has Dhruva Maharaj destroying all kinds of illusion for us. These purports do not allow one to remain in ignorance. When one time Prabhupada gave me a book written by another person, also on the subject of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and he asked me to read that book and give my opinion, I found that by reading the book, I simply got a headache. So I told Prabhupada that I got a headache. And Prabhupada said, yes, that book is like mental gymnastics. Just like sometime you go to the gymnasium. Or when we were children, we went to the park and they had what was called monkey bars. Monkey bars means the crisscross of bars. And you're supposed to do all... like the those athletes, what are they called? You know, they do things on the bars. What are those athletes called? Gymnasts. So the gymnasts, they're always spinning around like monkeys. So when one reads books which are written by persons who are not liberated, then one simply becomes exhausted, mentally exhausted. But Prabhupada's books are all written from perfect realization of Krishna. In other words, they are acts of devotion, and they lead us in devotion. We find our devotional creeper being watered. It grows the more we read Prabhupada's books. Each word is like a drop of nectar from Krishna, and it waters the creeper, and the creeper grows very luxuriantly simply by reading Prabhupada's books. So, when you distribute these books, you are, in a sense, providing the nectar which will begin to water the dormant creepers of devotion which exist in each person's heart. In other words, the books enter as a spiritual master into a person's life. And they begin to instruct him into what is illusion and what is real. So that gradually, as a person reads the books and his real intelligence returns to him, then he can find out a devotee. He can recognize a devotee as a friend, and he can seek further instruction. Therefore, Prabhupada pushed book distribution so vigorously. In the United States, in 1974, we began a preaching party, and we were holding kirtan, chanting, on the university campuses around America. So we reported to Prabhupada of the success we're having. And while complimenting us for our successful preaching, Prabhupada said, however, for bigger kirtan, you may try book distribution, which is the more important kirtan, because the books can reach where the midanga cannot. Therefore, the printing press is known as Brihat Midanga. It is the greater beating of the drum. And of course, the beater of the drum is Srila Prabhupada. In the last year, 1977, Prabhupada said that even though his body was failing, he said, I am still sitting here in Vrindavan, beating on this drum, and the sound vibration is going all over the world. So he was referring to his translation work. So, dancing to the Brihat Mridanga means that the devotees, the Sankirtan devotees, go out and they dance in every town and every village with these transcendental books. So one has to become fixed, fixed up. Fixed up means ultimately to know that I am pure spirit soul, and more ultimately to know Krishna, and more ultimately to know how I am related to Krishna. At first, in a general way, that I am Krishna's servant. And at last, in what particular way we may personally serve the Lord. So Krishna consciousness is that training school. Just like there are training schools for, what are they called? You know, where you get job training. There's some, not exactly a an academic university, but vocational schools. I remember that when I was in high school, they tried to make me into a car mechanic. I had to take auto mechanics. So, vocational training. Krishna consciousness is vocational training. It is spiritual vocational training. We learn how to do deity worship. We learn how to manufacture books. We learn how to distribute books. We learn how to cook. We learn how to learn how to learn how to do so many things. These are spiritual vocations, and they are preparations for our return to the spiritual world, where we will take up our eternal vocation. So this is being fixed up. Fixed up means to be attached to something, to Krishna. Fixed up means when you're so attached that you don't become unhinged or detached. We want detachment from Maya, but not from Krishna. We don't want the calamity of becoming detached and falling down and shattering. Just like these lights are fixed up, but if suddenly they become detached and fall and shatter, that's misfortune. So we want to be so strongly, tightly bolted in. Prabhupada said the screw has to become so tight that it will never become undone. So Krishna will gradually tighten that screw until there's no separation between that, the lotus feet of Krishna, and ourselves. There will be no more space. The screw will be made so tight. Then there will be no fall down. So here it's mentioned that in such a fixed up position, one renders service unto the super soul situated within the heart by his omnipotency. Krishna is the almighty personality of Godhead, eternal and unlimited. And he is the ultimate goal of life. And by worshipping him, one can end the cause of the conditioned state of existence. So, omnipotent. Krishna has unlimited potencies. We see broadly the material energy. We are gradually learning to understand the internal potency. And we are the marginal potency. And there are so many different mini potencies, different types of shaktis, energies, which are being sent by the energetic principle, Krishna. So Krishna works through his potencies to affect us. He is omnipotent. Everything is his energy. And he is the Almighty Lord, eternal and unlimited. He's the ultimate goal of life. And by worshipping him, one can end the cause of the conditioned state of existence. All right. So we will stop here and see if there are any questions.
You were mentioning that one should be bewildered by the external material form. So I wonder what should be the attitude of the preacher in Krishna consciousness when they meet the
Good. Well, you can follow the line of reasoning of Sankaracharya. Sankaracharya sees the breasts of women as two bags hanging on bags of skin. What does he call them? What? Attachment and envy. Yeah. So every time you see a woman with the obvious feature of the protruding breasts, one should think, here comes envy and attachment. And enviousness and attachment simply breed suffering. Every one of us knows how we have suffered due to our material attachments. We are suffering even now due to our material attachments. And envy is obviously this greed to possess what someone else has, to never be satisfied. It can never be satisfied. The more you lust, the more the fire burns brightly. So when you see a woman, she is the embodiment for a man of envy and attachment. And therefore, one is advised to keep one's distance. What is the use to go near that which is going to cause you to become more envious and more attached? So, a Sankirtan devotee may have to approach that embodiment of envy and attachment. But if he is but you'd see the soul within. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmana Gavani Hastane Sini Chayiva Sufakicha Pandita Samadarshana. You have to be learned. There is no such thing as an ignorant Sankirtan devotee, because anyone who's ignorant and tries to do Sankirtan, if he remains ignorant, will fall down. A real Sankirtan devotee must be a pundit, must be learned. Even he may not speak elaborately about the scriptures, because he may be very busy trying to get people to take the scriptures. But at least personally, he must be learned. He must constantly at least be able to preach to himself. He must constantly be able to remind himself of what his mission is, of who he is, of the condition of the fallen souls he's preaching to. And he should be able to constantly dismember. Dismember means to take apart the bodies of the women he's preaching to, so that he can see within the soul. And similarly, the women who always feel very unhappy because all of these horrible things are said about them should understand that actually prejudice against, but rather understand that these books were written, spoken to great saintly persons and sages. I don't think that there were so many women around at the time Vyasa Deva was speaking, or different personalities speak. So they always addressed the men, telling them to beware of the pitfalls of association with women. But the opposite is also true, that women should understand that because of lusty desires to associate in any way other than Krishna consciousness with a man will also cause the same havoc. In any case, a Sankirtan devotee, in summary, whether man or woman, should understand that to associate with the opposite sex is very dangerous. Therefore, don't associate with the opposite sex, associate with the spirit soul. The spirit soul has no such gender as opposite sex. The spirit soul is pure. So a Sankirtan devotee doesn't associate with the opposite sex. They associate with the spirit soul, and therefore they don't get harmed. Another question? Sarvasya Chaham Riti Shani Dushtam. Now I remember that. Matushmiti Agyanam Aponam. Now what was your question? What does the knowledge mean? Knowledge means the understanding of matter and spirit and the master of both, Krishna. That's full knowledge. Knowledge of Krishna and Krishna's energies. So from Krishna within the heart, we understand how to recognize Krishna and how to recognize Maya and how to establish our connection with Krishna. Remembrance means to understand and remember all of the instructions you've been given so that you can always stay engaged in Krishna's service at all times. And knowledge means how to improve your service so it becomes pleasing to Krishna. This is knowledge. An illusion means when you forget Krishna, when you engage in the service of Maya, in the form of your senses, and you try to please only your senses, and the result is the opposite of knowledge. Knowledge brings enlightenment and bliss, and illusion brings suffering and ignorance. So why should you go for that which causes suffering and ignorance, when you can do that which causes enlightenment and bliss? That's foolishness. Anyone who makes such a wrong choice is a fool. I would disagree to some extent with your statement. If what you say is true, then I don't think, although I accept it, that there's some validity, but Prabhupada placed a great deal of emphasis upon book distribution because books are permanent. You watch a play, you watch a film, and then you go home and forget about it. But a book is on your shelf, and it's there again and again every single day of the year. And Prabhupada has stressed book distribution, knowing that the public does read. After all, these books are written for the intelligent person, and Krishna consciousness is meant for the intelligent person. So, if we make plays and films, it is ultimately to invoke someone's interest in the books. In other words, when someone reads the books, then you know that they're ready to become a devotee. When someone sees a play or a film, they're just becoming interested. But reading the book shows that they're ready to become devotees. So, no harm in making plays and films. That can be done if time permits. But it's not so essential as making books and distributing books. In our free time, and if someone has some special talent, then they may use it in that way. But we shouldn't become very much deviated from our primary business. Another question. Body is not a spiritual body. So when you say male and female, you're referring to your body. So that's not the same as a spiritual body. So far as whether you are male or female, in any case, you're the servant. So first of all, you understand your position as a servant. And when you have perfectly understood that you're Krishna's servant, then the exact nature of your service will be revealed to you. First of all, practice serving. That is called sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means to learn how to chant Hare Krishna properly without committing the 10 offenses. So first of all, learn how to chant Hare Krishna without committing the 10 offenses. Sadhana bhakti means to learn how to worship the deity without committing any of the different offenses. So first of all, learn how to worship the deity without committing so many offenses. So in this way, when your sadhana becomes expert, then automatically you will gradually come to the next stage, which is more spontaneous service. Slowly, 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 it will come. Real attachment to Krishna. And then slowly you will understand male or female on a spiritual platform. Now you should understand that you're simply ignorant of even the idea of how to be Krishna's servant, what to speak of whether I am the male servant or female servant of Krishna. That is a liberated condition. One of our God brothers was a little bit too eager to know what he was or what he could be in the spiritual world. So he decided that he would go and find a guru who would tell him his liberated position in the spiritual world. So then he went to one person who was selling liberation mantras. And this person gave him his mantra, telling him that you are actually a peacock in the spiritual world. I don't know if it was a male or female peacock. But anyway, after getting his peacock mantra, one day we came inside the room and this God brother of ours was, you know, bending down on his knees and he was moving around like a peacock. So we asked him what he was doing and he said that he was practicing. He was practicing becoming a peacock. And even to this day, he's acting like a peacock. He has given up his human form, and he's now a peacock in the material world. So we don't want to cultivate that kind of consciousness. It's not, we should not try to, we should not become impatient in regard to understanding our eternal identity as in terms of our particular relationship with Krishna. Prabhupada would speak very patiently on not being this body. Sometimes we have seen that due to impatience, some of our devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement feel that they can get something better than Prabhupada's teachings. They think that Prabhupada's teachings are too much introductory, and therefore they seek out the teachings of others, feeling that they will get some higher realization. But actually, Prabhupada's teachings are so perfect, they are complete and they include everything. But you cannot understand you can only understand according to your purity and realization, Prabhupada's teachings. It is just like when you see the deity, you see with devotion. When someone who is a materialist sees the deity, they see metal or stone. But when Lord Chaitanya saw the deity, he fainted, because he saw Krishna as Jagannath, Shyam Sundar. So the same deity produced different realizations according, or different experiences according to the degree of advancement. So similarly, Prabhupada's teachings are none different than Krishna. They are Krishna himself. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. So the problem is not in Prabhupada's teachings. The problem is in our understanding of Prabhupada's teaching. So someone who thinks that they can, that they're not getting Krishna and Prabhupada's teachings simply proves his own ignorance. He's simply advertising his own disqualification, his own contamination. Another question? taking up spiritual life, one's material fatigue becomes reduced. And then one again takes up. I would say that that's due to lack of developing a taste. In other words, we have to be very careful that as we are displacing material engagements, we are properly replacing them with a well-balanced diet of spiritual activity. Sometimes, out of our enthusiasm, we become extremists in a particular way. Just like the followers of various diets, they become extremists in only eating fruit or only eating grains. And what happens is that you, again, become unbalanced in your health. So, we should do as Prabhupada did. If we study Prabhupada's life, we will see a perfectly well-rounded devotion to Krishna, which involved many different aspects of devotional service. So devotees should not become extremists. They should be well-rounded so that they become satisfied in all respects. Their desires and needs become well satisfied so that they don't feel the need to go back to material life. They have to be properly situated and getting real taste for Krishna, situated according to Varna and Ashram, and getting proper taste for Krishna. If there's no taste, then one again looks for material pleasure. So there has to be some taste. You can judge whether or not you are safe by whether you find attraction for hearing about Krishna, whether you feel satisfaction in seeing the deity of Krishna, whether you feel yourself absorbed nicely in the Sankirtan activities. These are indications that you're okay. And you have to give enough time for all of these activities. Not one or the other, but all of them. Any last questions? Yeah. Good question. Krishna, as the Paramatma, gives instruction to us through his representative, the spiritual master, who is non-different. than Krishna, because he always repeats the message of Krishna without changing it. So in the conditioned stage, we should understand things through the words of our spiritual master. Not that we take direction directly from the Super Soul. It is said that after the departure of the spiritual master, then Krishna continues to instruct through his Super Soul expansion. But so long as the spiritual master is physically present, we have his direct association and words to guide us. Even we have scripture also to guide us. And we have saintly persons, sadhu, to guide us. So Krishna speaks through all of these, through scripture, through the sadhus, through the guru. And to one who is perfectly liberated, he also speaks as the Super Soul. All right. So thank you for your attentive listening, and thank Sri Vishnupad for the opportunity to address you if I've made any mistake. Hope I didn't make any mistake. Oh, what was that? Yeah, that was a mistake I made. That's because I'm attached to this bodily identification and I think I belong to a certain place. So I hope that I will become sufficiently enlightened by the help of our society's leaders to be able to understand that that's not my identification. Anyway, and this is a short visit also, which means that I won't be able to see all of the different places Krishna consciousness in the zone. One thing I always appreciate whenever I meet to have a certain type of simplicity, lack of artificial sophistication. That means that I find them to be, at least I always perceive that they seem to be engaged in essential activity. I feel that they're living, you know, on Sankirtan, just like that bird that can only drink water that falls from the sky. You know, the bird that does that cannot drink other kinds of water. So I feel that the devotees in this zone are being trained in that way to be nourished by Sankirtan and not by anything artificial or material. So I feel that anyone who gets association with these devotees will be very safe. So it's to my welfare to come here more. Thank you. So thank you again. What time is the feast program today? What time is the lecture? Sri Vishnupad asked me to give a lecture, so I guess I'll be speaking again at that time. Ah, yeah, I'd like that. Do you sit down and do bhajan? Do you, who leads the bhajan? And who, you're part of it? Okay. I'll be the current employee. Okay. I'll play the one current employee. All glories to the Guru and government.